As I was just spending some time with the Lord this morning and looking and at the readings for the day, and the gospel reading, that's not the gospel reading for the day today. I changed it because I was going to actually read that, and I thought, well, we'll maybe cut out one reading that way, or maybe not. But the Psalms I found very interesting today when I read through the Psalms. The Psalms for the day was Psalm, 95 and 69. In the current, in light of the current things that our country and the world is going through now, that's why I had the gospel read, because it dealt with worry and anxiety, is that I really think that we're probably at a place now that we really do need to make news illegal, because it's just driving people suicidal, you know, just driving people crazy. You can listen to the news program now, and one guy tell you that everybody's going to die, and then the next guest tells you that it's no big deal, you know, and then the next guy tells you, like, oh no, everybody's going to die. So it's just, you know, drives me nuts sometimes. So anyway, I just wanted to read Psalm 69, and then I was going to read the other psalm to you and see if it strikes you how God paired these up. And I don't know when they created the lectionary. It was some time back, a long, long, long time ago, but they've revised the lectionary over the centuries. So I don't know when this last revision was done, that's in the 78 prayer book. But we know that was done way before 1978, that they put these readings in, and they just happened to show up on a day like today. Just happened to be there for us. And to me, that's as big a miracle as opening the Bible at random and finding a word that fits exactly, is that God knew how to orchestrate time and people and everything centuries ago for things to come to a spot right now. That's pretty amazing and a miracle. But anyway, that what I found was, as I read Psalm 69, was I recognized myself here. And how I fluctuate up and down, and sometimes this is where I'm at. This is where my feelings are all at with everything that's going on right now. Which, just to let y'all know, that is the all the stuff that's going on, the coronavirus stuff, the political stuff, and even with the Bishop and Olivia stuff, they're not the biggest things for me to deal with right now. The biggest thing for me to deal with right now is Henry. You know, it's trying to keep Henry from being psychotic and crazy and driving me psychotic and crazy. I'm doing better with Henry than I am myself, I think. So, but just see if you recognize some of this that you may be going through. Psalm 69, save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I mean, do you ever feel that way? Is that it's becoming overwhelming, you know, that it's just, you know, it's just more than you can deal with, you know, like the water's just too deep to tread in, because there's just so much of it that just doesn't make sense to us right now, politically, like I say, or with the virus issues, the health issues, can just be so overwhelming, you know. I have sunk in deep mire, deep mud, and there's no foothold. I have come into deep water, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. And what I did not steal, then I have to restore. That's an interesting phrase. What I did not steal, I have to restore. So that's a poke at us. You know, that I'm sure that in literature there's a word that describes this thing, this playing with words. Because what he's saying is that even though I've led a good life, maybe, I've led a life, righteous life, and I've never really stolen anything, I still feel like that I have to restore what I didn't even steal. That's pretty despairing, you know? And that's where David was at in writing that psalm. And I think sometimes today I find myself in that kind of those same places where I'm looking at it and I'm just like, I'm just in this mud and I can't get a good foothold to get out of this mud. You know, and I pray, and it doesn't seem, you know, it seems like heaven's right there, and it's pretty much solid concrete, and God's not hearing me, and all of this stuff that's going on is just so overwhelming and so much to us. But, you know, but thanks be to God that's not where we have to live. You know, we have a choice. You know, it's kind of like going to the movies, okay? You have a choice now. Like when I was a kid, you didn't have a choice. You went to the movie and there was a movie playing. And so you went to whatever that movie was. You didn't get a choice. Now I go and there's so many choices that I leave because I can't make up my mind. I get confused. You know, I go, I'll just leave. But we have choices, and our Christian life is very much like that. We always have choices. God gave us choices, gave us free will. And so we can choose to live in anxiety, in worry, or we can choose to live in His kingdom. As the gospel lesson so beautifully says, like, why do you worry? Look at the birds of the air and the grass of the field. Are they not more than adequately prepared and taken care of? You know, just if you've got access to a smartphone or a computer or something, Google birds. And look how many beautiful birds that we never see here in Selma, in this part of the world. But in other parts of the world, there's like thousands and thousands of birds that make the most beautiful movie stars look pretty shabby in comparison. Because they have a beauty that God gave them. And they're just birds. And then I don't know if you've ever, it's not as much here, but if you go kind of more into mountainous areas and stuff, and particularly like the Rocky Mountains and stuff like that, there's times of the year when you can walk out into it and there'll be a field and there'll be these wildflowers. And it is spectacular. It's breathtaking. And you just have to, very few people can walk up on that and just not pay attention. It's so breathtaking. It takes your breath away. You just have to stop. And that's just grass, you know. We get a little of that. You know, our state has done the wildflower areas and the medians around the interstates where every once in a while you'd be driving down the road and you go, whoa, that is like, you know, like too bad that's not like 10,000 acres. Too bad it's only 40 foot by 40 foot or whatever. It's just grass. But yet God's taking care of just the grass so wonderfully. And so we have a choice. We can be really, really smart. We can be extremely educated. We can be on top of every issue and everything. We can listen to all the news. We can be the most current on every affair that's happening politically, socially, economically, and medically right now. Or it can be grass, simply grass in God's hands, allowing Him to cultivate us and to give us His beauty rather than us trying to figure it all out. We're in a peculiar time now. Very peculiar time. There's so many things now, I think, with prophetic people that are coming out that they're making these comparisons and everything, and there's a lot that we could do in that. I'm not going to do that, but I do think of these things. I think of certain things that are going on and how maybe this is God's hand, you know. I think it was Bracken. We were standing out there. Bracken, what was the statement? How did you make that statement so I don't mess it all up?
Anybody else think that God is maybe saying, what's the fooling about Lent?
You know, maybe some of this stuff is that. Is God saying, stop and think about me, you know? But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just what happens. But I don't really think that that's the case. I think everything that happens is orchestrated by the hand of God at some level. Maybe it was orchestrated like the readings for the day hundreds of years ago or even thousands of years ago to come to this point at this time in this particular way, to try to save His people. Because that's the bottom line of everything that's going on, that we have to always realize there's nothing that takes place in this world that's not about God trying to reach His people and to save them, to draw them into a relationship with Him, to bring them into the kingdom of God. Every single thing is that. The purpose, He takes every bad thing and turns it to that purpose. And every good thing is created good for that purpose, is to draw our lives and the lives of people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So anyway, that was kind of a funky psalm, right? You know, like, oh, it's a woe is me. I'm overwhelmed. I'm in the mud and all that kind of stuff. But this is the other psalm for the day, which is like a cool psalm. It's like a psalm that I love. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyful to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyful to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. See, at the end of the day, this is the truth that we live, is that we belong to him. We are the sheep in his pastures, and he is taking care of us. He is doing exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever imagine in our own. It's just sometimes we just can't see it. We get so mired in the mud, so overwhelmed by the waters and the cares and the troubles and what and the whatevers, that we get our eyes off of who he is and how he is the God of all things, how he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, how he is the creator of the universe, how he is the creator of the molecules, the creator of the atoms, as well as the creator of life, the creator of it all. Amen? So let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us bow down before our Lord and Maker and rejoice. You notice this doesn't talk about anything but him. And that's what gets us in trouble, is we get off into something besides him. You know, and even as Christians, you know, it's like, oh man, God really blessed me today. I got like a check in the mail for $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is. I was really so blessed. I'm so happy. I just want to praise and worship the Lord. Really? That's nothing. It's really nothing. Why we should worship and bless him and bow down before him is because of who he is. Lord, that we would just get a glimpse, that we would just, as we say in the Eucharist, that we might just behold him, even if it's for a fraction of a second. A single moment of beholding God radically changes something inside of us. And so the more we behold him, the more radically we are changed and all. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.